friend.
It's my birthday. I can cry if I want to.
It is your birthday. We've been talking this whole time before starting to record, and I've just been like, how's your birthday? And you're like, it's Monday.
Having a birthday on a Monday is such a drag. Like, I work today. I've also been so hectic and busy and had so other many fun things planned that I kept forgetting, like, my birthday was coming up.
Totally.
I knew it was coming up. You know your birthday's coming up, but I kept, like, just not thinking about it.
I know, because we went out yesterday for your birthday, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's my birthday.
Man, Ellen, try me again next year, because this year is, I can already tell, 32, it's going to be a fucking wash.
I think we're all just doing our best, but happy birthday to you, friend.
Thank you. And I'm just happy that we're recording, and I made myself a drink. I have a gin and Aperol Spritz cocktail.
Which sounds delightful.
It is very sweaty in this room that I'm in right now, so it's, like, very cool and refreshing. But I'm very happy that it's, like, a hot summer day on my birthday. Make it hotter. I want to just be fucking broiled alive in my home. That's my that's my temperature desire.
I was going to tell you, I've been trying ranch water.
What's that?
It's a seltzer, of course. I have to try all of the seltzers.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's an agave nectar seltzer, and I'm drinking prickly pear.
Look at you. Remember when you were very strictly anti-seltzer?
Okay, I just have a problem with White Claws, and I think that's fair.
But, like, you used to roast me for liking La Croix.
Oh, it's just because you and my partner got so ridiculous about it, where I was like, y'all, we need to calm it down.
We probably were super annoying. Me and your partner have a bad habit of when we realize we're in agreement of something that you disagree with us on, me and them double down super hard and get really in your face about the fact that you disagree. Like, I'm so sorry that you have to deal with both of us, but you chose us. It's ultimately your fault that we are. And that, friends, is called a gaslight.
I'm not even going to argue with you because it's your birthday.
I can gaslight you. It's my birthday. I can gaslight if I want to. No. I get no passes. I'm turning 32. Nothing exciting about the 32 birthday. But I'm happy to be here.
Something exciting.
It's my reverse Michael Jordan birthday. I don't fucking know, you know? Because he's 23.
Yeah. That's a thing.
It's not very exciting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. It's not like a milestone birthday. It's just a regular old birthday. And I'm just like,
regular birthday.
Another one. Like, it's just not a, it's just here we go, trucking along. But I'm happy to be here. I'm so excited you still wanted to record today because I love recording with you. And I was like, it's my birthday. I want to have a drink and see Ellen's face.
And
this is what I want.
And then I feel so special.
You are. You're the most special. And then the rest of my night is just going to be me, this drink, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. And I cannot fucking wait.
I love that for you. Also, I am so proud of the birthday text I sent you.
Oh, yeah.
32 years ago today, the greatest gift to the world was born.
I was like, wow, babe, it was so cute. I loved it. Well, hey, happy birthday to me. And without further ado, shall we get into it?
Yes, please.
And welcome to another episode of Hate Mail Podcast, where we read weird things found on the internet, such as DMs, text messages, all the shits. We got all the read receipts. Let's talk shit about your shitty ex. Am I right? My name is Nora, and I'm here with... Wait a second. What's that? Oh, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's Ellen.
I actually know that reference.
Hey, I knew we would circle around to some geeky reference that you knew.
What do you have for us today? Are you going to make us cry because it's your birthday?
It's my birthday. We're going to all cry with me. Yeah. But hopefully happy tears. I think this is lighthearted, so we'll see. We'll see. You know, who can be sure? This is a conversation between Edgar and Jessamé. Jessamé posted the conversation and she wrote, "I told a 28-year-old man I expect head to be reciprocated. This man has procreated, but Def hasn't made anyone come. Ever." Edgar. "You sound like high maintenance at this point, LOL. Jessamé. "Why does it sound high maintenance to want the person you're sharing your body with to give you an orgasm? I just don't want sex to feel one-sided." Edgar. "Yeah, but it sounds like work with you. With a man, it requires minimal work, and with you, it sounds like a 20 to 30 minute ordeal. I'm not trying to make a girl orgasm unless I plan on marrying her. Coming and orgasms are two different things. I'll make you come. I can't sit here and say I'll make you orgasm. Orgasms for women are kind of a big deal." Could you imagine if you were...
No!
Could you imagine talking to a straight cishet man and being like, "I'm not going to make you come. I just don't see the point." That man would burn a city to the ground.
I am not shocked, but I'm angry. Like, if you're having sex with someone, why wouldn't... What?
Why don't you want them to have a good time, too? Part of the fun of sex is making someone else do the whole weird face thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's also like men are not easy. Okay.
What?
Hang on.
If these little willowy wrists could talk.
Just being like, it's easy for a guy to orgasm and come. Generally, yes. But it's still a lot of work on your part, too.
Yeah.
And you do that because you want to have a good time with the person you're having sex with.
Right. And just saying flat out no, it sounds like a 20 to 30 minute ordeal.
Oh my God.
It's like,
no, then what are we doing here, bro?
What am I doing here? He just wants to have sex with you and use you as a sex toy and not have you be a person.
It's also, you know, I definitely think men expect you to give them a blowjob or go down on them or whatever.
They do expect it, don't they?
They do. And
yeah.
And it's almost rarely reciprocated.
Yeah. And sometimes when it is reciprocated, you're just like, oh, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to. No. It's really hard to make me orgasm.
But I think it's also one of those things of ask your partner what they like. You know what I mean? Obviously, like, medications can make it hard or, you know, whatever. But you can make someone orgasm if you know what they like, what feels good to them. And everyone is different. So you have to ask.
Yeah.
You can make it sexy. You can use a sexy way of asking, you know?
Yeah. And she was like, "I expect head to be reciprocated." He said, "Yes. You sound like high maintenance at this point.
Go fuck yourself."
Oh, my God. The bar is on the floor. Straight women. Like, people have sex with men. I'm sorry. Me. I'm also a person who has sex with men.
I know. I think it was really funny. It's not funny. But when we look back on some of our old conversations of like, yeah, I guess I just like don't orgasm.
You're taught to think that's normal. You're like, well, I must be the problem. He's over here talking about how all these women he slept with. And here I am, can't even have one little old orgasm. I must be the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
No. That's not the way it works, I learned. So it's so sad the way that straight women just settle for mediocrity.
Yes.
Because men, when you ask a man to give you head, he says that you just sound high maintenance. Go fuck yourself.
I hate it so much.
Well, let's move on to a happy one. This is a tweet by Emily McCombs. They write, "I told a man some shit he did made me uncomfortable. And instead of lashing out, he said, quote, 'Thank you for plainly and politely checking me on that.' I was like, okay, hot new dirty talk just dropped." She responds the next day, "I did not expect this to resonate so much. For everyone who finds this as hot as I did," his message started with, "100% heard," and ended with, "That kind of communication is super important to me, and I'm glad to apologize and correct my missteps."
I do really like this. I think my one complaint, which I know is so stupid, but it's too corporate for me a little bit.
It is pretty corporate. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I do You know, but sometimes is it? It's not wrong.
I'm just happy we're here. You know.
Yeah.
You're right.
Of course.
But I'm just fucking happy we made it here.
I feel a little bad that I'm complaining about that, but it does sound a little like corporate-y to me. I don't know. Am I a bummer?
You know, yeah, a little bit. But like, no. I think that that's totally valid and fair. Is it a little corporate and a little clinical? I think absolutely. But you know what? Hey, at least he wasn't like, fuck you, you dumb slut.
True, which is what we're used to. No, and I'm totally here for this. And I think it's, you know, I'm not going to say incredible. This is
what you should
expect. I mean, this is what should be done. So I'm here for it. Sorry that I complained.
No, it's all good. I mean, it just kind of goes to show that the bar is literally in hell because we're like, a man, I acknowledged he did something wrong. Ah, it's hot. It's sexy. Like, we're just so fucking, we're just starving here. We are just starving for men to have any source of, like, any accountability whatsoever.
Oh, it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask.
Oh, this fucking sucks. Okay, moving on. We have a little excerpt from a dating app profile.
Great.
And so it's a series of questions. You know, you answer, kind of get a feel for what they are. So the question, I appreciate when my date, ... he replies, wants to have sex the first day we meet. And a partner, I'm looking for, ... man. Intelligence, sensitivity, femininity, submissiveness, an interest in cleaning, an aptitude for forgiveness that I can both learn from and be proud of, good hair genes to contrast my bad ones, and a high sex drive, which includes an oral fixation and grabby hands.
Oh, like little crab claws?
I pictured little tiny gecko hands, like attached to a woman.
that's probably better than my little crab hand. Like,
you know, she's got one crab hand and one gecko hand. You know, that's the perfect woman. Let's see. Hands down, the best first date. It was also our first time meeting in person. It included us taking LSD, of course included sex, and also me covering her entire neck in hickeys, no less than 50 for sure. I enjoyed it as if I was a vampire feeding. Then she said she loved me and asked to be my girlfriend.
Oh. Oh.
I was kind of like,
On the first date?
I can kind of see why that's a great first date.
Yeah, I was like a huge red flag if someone's like, I love you, and it's been a one date.
That is a huge red flag. No less than 50 for sure. I just picture this woman's neck just looking like a fucking soccer ball.
Yeah, just one giant hickey.
Oh no,
people just are really into hickeys. Not for me, but like I think that's part of not claiming. I don't want to go that far because claiming is...
No, I think that's part of the fun of it is it's like, yeah. Ooh, I had such a rowdy time that someone left an aggressive, bruisy mark on me. I get the appeal of hickeys.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Not for me, but I totally understand it.
Yeah. It's kind of wild that their first date, they took LSD.
You know, don't ruin their fun, Nora.
You know what? Hey, it sounded like they had a great time, so that's not my problem. But we got one more, and this is where it really goes off the rails.
Okay. Not with the LSD.
Not with the LSD. The LSD vampire feeding sex was the tame part.
Oh, okay. All right.
Something new I want to try. I'd like to have my girl grow her pubic hair out so I can observe its growth pattern every day, as well as how its smell is changing slightly as it gets more and more furry. Then when it's time, I'll be the one to shave it. I think
whatever
it meant like
blows your hair back.
You know, like, whatever blows your hair back, whatever blows your pubic hair back. I think that that's like, you know, hey, is it avant-garde? Is it not traditional? Yes, absolutely. Was my first reaction to be like, oh, yes, but hey, I think that the question was more like, what kind of food do you want to try? Like,
well, right, like, do you want to go hiking on a new trail?
Right, right. It's just like,
go ahead, sorry.
I just don't think anyone, when they were like, here's a fun question prompt, or like, I want to observe the growth pattern of your pubic hair. So that was fun. Moving on. Moving on. Okay, Ellen. This is a list on something. Some fucking forum. This is something. This is the hashtag under the post is hashtag incels, hashtag red pill, hashtag feminism, hashtag men will be men. Hashtag red pilled. So, you know, just setting the tone.
Oh, I know where we're at. I know where we're going.
You're there. Yes. You're in the headspace.
We're there.
All right. Never date a woman if she is more than 5'4", is less than a C cup, has a deep voice, is more than 120 pounds, has long slash heavy periods, has ache, has a lot of body hair, has visible muscle tone, is promiscuous. These are all signs of high testosterone levels in women. You're basically dating a man if you date a woman like this. She is also most likely lesbian or infertile. And if you do manage to have kids with her, she'll pass down these traits to your daughters.
Oh my God.
I saw this list somewhere and highly agreed, but I had to add a few things. Stay safe. Stay safe from the low talking tall women. I am a low talking tall woman. Stay away from us. We don't want you.
Do you think he outright asks women he wants to date whether or not they have long and heavy flow periods?
Long and heavy periods. I don't think he talks to women at all.
Probably not.
I'm just going to gander a guess here. I don't think he'd know a woman if she walked up and slapped him in the face. You know, it's so weird because he just described a lot of things that a lot of, like, these are all signs of high testosterone levels in women. You're basically dating a man. No, you're just dating a woman. You're just dating a tall woman. Come on.
What was the, can't be more than a C cup or can't be less than a C cup?
Is less than a C cup.
Huh.
I know, that one was surprising. Hooray for the itty bitty titty committee. You know what I mean? Hell yeah. I guess. But like, never date a woman if she is less than a C cup. Oh, you know what? That makes more sense. Is less than a C cup. He wants big titties. Okay.
I got titties.
He wants big titties. I got it twisted in my head. That's why I was shocked. But no. It's bad. It's just, you know, to be valid, you must have the big old honkers.
And you have to be 120 pounds.
Man.
Or less.
Man, that is the person he described as bitty bitty.
Teeny.
Teeny little baby.
Oh,
with big tits.
With huge tits. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's actually a very average size.
What is?
Titty committee. Like C's and D's. Like a lot of people have C's and D's, yeah.
I think so. To be honest, I'm not even sure what the fuck, like, cup size. I know it's like bigger. But also, like,
Google.
You're going to Google my bra size?
No.
I was like, that's on Google? And it's also, like, if you get, like, a wider, like, band, what's it fucking called?
Ah!
Oh?
34 double D is the most average bra size in the United States.
Oh, bigger than I thought. But also, I feel like I look at double D boobs and, like, they're big, but they're not, like...
It's hard to tell.
It depends on your body type.
People's bra sizes, you know?
Yeah, and it depends on your body type, the way that your boobs look on you, too. Like, if you're smaller and you got bigger boobs, your boobs are going to look bigger. But if you have double Ds and your frame's a little bit bigger, they won't. It's so stupid to require a boob size in a partner, is our point. We were just so baffled that we were trying to remember how bras worked, and we couldn't.
I don't usually wear one.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean?
I just wear, like, sports bras. Like, I don't give a shit, you know? Underwire bras are super uncomfortable, and I feel bad for our busty friends that have to wear, like, a lot of support because that can be uncomfortable.
Anyways, that got just terrible.
Yeah. Moving on, shall we?
Yes.
Let's see. Let's continue on the theme of boobs. This is a text exchange between Gwen and Jacob. It picks up mid-conversation with Gwen saying, I hit puberty pretty young, so I had a bigger bust than literally everyone in my grade. People started treating me differently. Girls were meaner. Guys stopped treating me like a person and more like entertainment. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. Jacob, if you don't want that attention, why did you let them get that big? Gwen, what? Jacob, if you eat high fat, saturated fats, it will go straight to your ass and tits. Like, for men, it goes to our stomachs. It indicates wealth status and masculinity or femininity for you. So it's good to have them big. But if you don't want that attention, why did you eat so much?
Oh, my God.
And it ends with Gwen saying, I'm genuinely speechless. How fun would it be?
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's so fucking dumb. I wish I could control my boob size. Because I'd like to shape them for specific events. You know what I mean?
Do you, like, I have heard this so much. So I didn't have boobs for a very, very long time. And I was, I think because of the weight and the, you know, every, how do I want to say this? Because of the importance that we put on feminine figures and boobs specifically, like, I feel so bad for the people who got boobs first.
I know.
Especially,
so do I.
Like, I'm, oh my God, I cannot imagine that. How fucking terrible.
Because you go from, like, being a kid, being in middle school, to being, like, a sexualized object.
Yes.
And it happens really quick because, like, when puberty hits, it just kind of, like, wham, bam, bam. Like, all of a sudden, things are happening. Things
bing,
are growing.
Bing, boom. You got titties.
I got tall really fast and, like, my shins hurt all the time. But, yeah, I was pretty flat-chested until I was, like, well into my late 20s, yes, I feel. Same. Like, I never really thought I had, like, big boobs. They look great today, though.
They do.
Sorry,
that
I made...
shirt is doing it for you.
The shirt's doing it for me. I made Ellen talk about how big my boobs look today, and I was like, hell yeah. It's not about me. I apologize.
It kind of is. It's your birthday. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then to be like, it depends on what you eat. Like, people are so fucking dumb.
People are so dumb. Men are so dumb. This is like, this could have come from a politician who's passed anti-abortion laws, and I would believe you.
Right. It doesn't matter what you eat. Your boobs are your boobs, you know?
Right. Do they change and grow and shrink based on weight?
Well, yeah, because all bodies change.
But, yes, exactly. That's, like, normal. Like, when I was super sick, I lost my boobs. I was like, oh, geez. They were there one day and then gone the next because I was sick and, like, malnourished. So, you know, it's like fat. And I lost my ass and my boobs. I was like, God damn it. But they're back.
They're back in full force.
And in full force. They made a triumphant return. Sorry, it's not about my titties. Ellen, do you want to hear a man talk about how most women are really bad at sex?
Absolutely not, but here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, you have no choice. You're locked in and out. Most women are really bad at sex. I have to, like, get in the headspace of, like, douchey entitled man. I was like...
I could see it in your face. You're like, character.
I changed into, like, a fucking character just now. I got, like, the douchiest expression on my face to get ready for this. I'm, like, holding a fake glass of whiskey. I don't know. Most women are really bad at sex. Throughout my life, I've been inundated with jokes about men not being able to find the clit or give a woman an orgasm. So because of these constant jokes, I put a lot of time and effort into learning women's anatomy, learning what techniques satisfy a woman in general, and customizing what I do to each of my girlfriend's individual preferences. The majority of my male friends do the same. We put time and effort into learning how to sexually satisfy our partners, and we take pride in doing so. This is so bad. What do I get for all my effort? A blowjob from fucking Jaws. Most women have literally no idea how to sexually satisfy a man. They don't have to learn how to be good at sex. Men want to have sex with them regardless as if they're good at it or not, because most men are sex-starved. The prime sexual example for me is a handjob. Every single handjob I've ever had in my life has felt like a girl is trying to circumcise me with her fist. And if her nails are long enough, she gets damn close. Thanks for trying, Edwina Scissorhands. And don't even get me started on how most girls, even being enthusiastic, just lay there during sex like a dead fish. I'm glad you're having fun, Becky, but if you could do something for me that a microwave watermelon can't, that would be great. The point is that...
Oh, my God.
Whoa, my... Jesus Christ. Tell me you fucked a watermelon without telling me you fucked a watermelon, am I right?
No. Oh, microwaved watermelon?
I never thought about it being microwaved, but I was like, of course they would fucking microwave it, those motherfuckers. I need justice for the microwave watermelons. Oh. The point is that my female partner's consistent lack of any educated technique shows me that despite being sexually active and having several previous partners, most women have no clue what makes a penis feel good, and they don't feel any shame in not knowing. Interestingly, the best sex that I've ever had is with conventionally unattractive women, and I think it's because their burden of performance is high.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. They know that they have to be good at sex or a guy will drop them for someone more attractive at the next opportunity.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
my God. In sex, there's a burden of performance for guys, but not for women. Men want sex more than women, and this leaves women with the ability to choose which men have sex and which men don't. If a guy doesn't give a good first performance, he's unlikely to get a second chance. In a woman's case, her sexual performance only needs to be, and unfortunately, that's where it trails off. Yeah, I could just see your soul just wafting out of your ears.
I want to slap this guy. Here's the thing.
I don't think people like having sex with him. I don't think anyone's having fun.
Well, I was going to get to that. I really think you should put work and time and effort and not and pride, I guess, but don't talk about it, you know, to get a high five into making your partner have fun during sex. That is like bare minimum, honestly.
Truly.
I being like, I do all this stuff. It's like, shut the fuck up. No one cares. That's what you should be doing.
I'm also very skeptical at the I've been studying women's anatomy.
I'm maybe textbook or internet.
Like, you want to talk about like corporate clinical speak. I was like,
the other part that I'm just, this is like not a PC thing to say, but I'm going to say it. So I genuinely think a lot of women, a lot of femmes have sex even when they don't want to, just to get you to shut the fuck up.
I know, it's so true. We have a mutual friend, and her and I were like at dinner like a couple months ago, and she said, like, you know, we've all just like had sex that we didn't want to have. And I was like, yeah, totally. And then we like didn't think of, and then I got home and I was like, ooh, it was so fucked up how cavalierly we just said that. But it's like, yeah, like that is a huge possibility, is that if your partner's not really into it, did you force them? Did you coerce them? Did you yell at them until they gave in?
And then there's the other part of it that I really think is huge, which is, I mean, you sometimes don't know how to have sex. You don't know what feels good because you've never been allowed to experiment, mm-hmm. or you've never had the chance to experiment to see what you actually like.
Right.
There's so, I mean, so many people go through life, and you look how long we went where we're like, yeah, I didn't know I could orgasm, you know?
It pains me for tiny, not tiny, but younger Nora Nellen. Pains myself.
Right. You know, there's so many people who are just inexperienced, and that's not a problem. But if that is your partner who you're having sex with, ask questions. Are you are you enjoying this? It would be a good start.
Not everyone is the same. There is like a lot of commonalities in what people like, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, the best way to learn how to get someone off is you ask them and have them show you, and you have conversations and you experiment and you have fun. And you probably didn't scream at them until they gave in and had sex with you, because no one is having a good time there. Like, that's super fucked up. Right. And if your partner is not into it, if your partner is, quote, laying there like a dead fish, you should stop having sex and check in with them.
Yes.
Because that means they're not having a great time and there's something going on and you need to stop having sex right now.
Correct.
It's fucked, man. Shall we take a smoke break?
Yes, please. To it.
No, I love it. That's so good. You're great. You're perfect. Never change. Okay. So the second half, it's a little bit of a shit show, you know, and you're saying, Nora, this is the whole thing a shit show, and you'd be correct, but I figured we're just going to start second half going a little hard into some internalized misogyny.
We also really, I do think the first half was a shit show. It was a clown car filled with wanting to watch the growth patterns of pubic hair, which so is new for us.
That is new. That's a new one for me. Like watching the growth patterns and then shaving it. Whatever blows, whatever floats your fucking boat back, you know? Who am I? Okay, so we have a Twitter thread by a woman. We'll call her Vanessa. I don't want to give her real name. She's a fucking mess. Vanessa tweets in a long-ass thread, and it starts by saying, there's a trend, and I think I've only seen it in the last 5 to 6 years, of grown men crying when they see their bride walking down the aisle. I have to say that this is extremely gay.
Oh, God.
Men shouldn't cry at such things. It should be reserved for extreme moments of pain, for example, death.
Oh, my God.
Even I, as a woman, would be embarrassed and would not cry in public. I'd rather excuse myself and go somewhere else, do anything, but put my tears on display so the groom crying at his wedding is even more gay, in caps, because it's definitely done for vanity / show.
Oh, fuck.
Consider why the bride never cries when she sees her groom during modern weddings. Surely she feels the same emotion.
But they do!
It's because showing the man cry is part of the feminist ritual. Quote, look how you've already started to emasculate this man, end quote. It's like a triumph of role reversal. Modern women are unaware of the degree to which feminism has normalized the emasculation and disrespect of men in their lives.
Oh my God.
They interrupt men when they talk. They correct them publicly. They make them the butt of their jokes. No wonder marriage is seen as a trap by sane men. The modern world is a very emasculated, gynocentric society.
Oh.
The layers of programming are very thick. You need to be brutally honest about your disgust instincts to understand how men and women should and should not behave in order to recalibrate any healthy norm.
Oh.
Fellas, is it gay to marry a woman?
This hurts me.
Oh, it's so sad. Men can only cry when someone dies? Are you fucking kidding me? What the shit is this?
I think it's so sweet when men cry.
I love it.
Their bride.
I love that a man is so in love with the person he is marrying that when he sees them turn the corner in a gown, ready for them to like have their nuptials, he cries. I think that's so beautiful. Also, oh my God, women cry at their wedding all the time. I can't believe that she had the audacity to say that I've never seen a woman cry. I was like, this is the only time I've heard this argument made and I'm mad at it.
I sobbed. I have ugly
end statement.
Pictures.
Ellen cries a lot.
I do. I, even though I'm a tiny angry human,
okay.
I cry a lot.
Crying
yeah.
is okay. Crying is normal and crying is healthy.
It is.
And
absolutely.
I can't believe. And also, using gay as an insult, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this?
So homophobic. There are so many problems with this. Men can do a lot of, do you know what this sort of kind of reminds me of is when people post like men using sunblock is so, you know, gay man up.
Beta
and
male
it's like,
behavior.
Yeah, and you're like, it's the fucking sun. What do you mean?
You're like, is it gay to protect yourself from skin cancer? I've seen that shit. It's so wild. The ways that toxic masculinity and the patriarchy just fucking wrecks us both.
But
all the genders
women,
are fucked under patriarchy.
Yes, and especially women standing up for these toxic, horrible point of views.
I know. It really is salt in the wound when it comes from another woman. You know, you're like, well, I fucking expect this from men. But when it's another woman, you're like, ah, fuck. This makes me so sad for you. Because I can't imagine that you're living any sort of fulfilling life when you have these views about your own gender and the way that people are, quote, quote, supposed to behave. Like, that sounds like a miserable existence if you are worried about being judged for crying at your fucking wedding.
Right. Especially to be disgusted by healthy displays of emotion.
Right.
That.
I think she used that word too, disgusted.
She did. Ugh. And I just can't. I am disgusted by many, many things. And none of them, they're things that harm other people.
Right.
Crying when you see your bride or your person, not one of them.
That is so stupid. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. But it's important to talk about because it's important to remember that women also play a role in the patriarchy. And this narrative, I would argue, is more harmful coming from women because then it bolsters the argument for these things by, like, the toxic cishet male community because they say, oh, look, well, she said it, so it must be true. And it's like, no. She's fucked up. She's super fucked up. Don't listen to her.
And probably has a lot of really unhealthy emotional issues as well.
I would think so. It just makes me, like, she must hate herself so much just for the fact as a woman. And then she's saying she never cries in public. It's like, hey, listen.
Maybe you should.
Maybe you need it. Maybe you should try smoking some weed. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think a lot of people really try not to show emotion in public, you know, not to make a scene or, you know, it's to not be me. A conversation.
Not me. I'll make a scene. I'll make a scene right now.
But I'm like, some emotion makes me uncomfortable. But like working through that is the most important thing. And if my partner is crying, whether it's a sad, happy, whatever, yes, I'm going to check in with them. I'm not going to be disgusted. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You don't care about humans then. Fuck you.
Right. And if you're, listen, right here, if you're a woman and if your cishet male partner is crying and you shame them for that, fuck you. You're a piece of shit, man. Do better. That's not okay. Men are allowed to express emotions in any capacity. And
we want them to.
We want them to. It's good. It's such, I'm so happy for the men that love their spouse walking down the aisle so much that they're moved to emotion. That's so fucking beautiful. Why can't we celebrate that? Why do we need fucking goblins on the internet to tear that down and spin that as a negative? And then say a homophobic phrase and say gay like it's an insult or a problem?
Oh.
So fucked up. Let's move on to something that's also fucked up.
Clown car, Nora.
Yeah! This is a tweet by @gabs820. She writes, literally just sunbathing in my mom's backyard and I hear the neighbor guy take a picture of me from his window because his phone wasn't on silent. And then her next tweet is just LMFAO and then two cop cars. And I was like, good, good, good. She called the cops. The next tweet, guy, should I kill him? Tweet after. Okay, y'all, final update. The cops came and told me they couldn't charge him because the guy took it from his house where he's legally allowed to be. But they did confront him and found the pictures of me in his deleted folder. So I have a case open and am able to get a restraining order. His reasoning was, quote, I saw a pretty girl and wanted to take a picture, end quote. Two puking emojis. And if he ever does it again, after the filed restraining order, then he can get arrested and the cops gave me a case study and resources to follow up. ACAB, but I'm glad they actually came and deleted my pics.
Because she was at her mom's house? Is that what it was?
Just like sunbathing.
She was also on private property. Ew. You know, I have so many problems with this. And one, the entitlement to think that you can just like take pictures of people like sunbathing in their backyard. That's so weird to me. But you know what I really think goes into this is Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and accounts like, you know, influencers in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, yeah, there's people that, I mean, granted, those are in public. They're not on private property typically.
But still, I hate that we just have normalized just like filming and photographing strangers in public and posting it on the internet.
Right, without their consent. Right. I feel like consent is lost in this conversation.
We need more privacy laws, man. Like, the laws have to catch up to technology. Like, there should be some type of fine or something in place if you're photographing someone in their backyard.
Absolutely.
Like, there's got to be something.
Or even, like, in public. Even though, like, some people are doing some really cringy things, it's really weird.
Well, I've seen, like, videos of, like, unhoused people having mental health crises in like a restaurant. People are like filming them and like posting it on the internet to be like, ha ha ha. And it's like, oh my God, like, why are we just profiting off of pain and trying to humiliate strangers or filming a woman sunbathing in a bikini, most likely in her mom's backyard? Like, and the only reason he got busted was because he thankfully was a dumbass, forgot to turn his phone on silent. How many people are taking a picture of just women sunbathing in their own private homes or in their own yards? And you'll never know. Like, it's such a horrifying thought to think about all the potential strangers that could have a photo of you on their phone.
Absolutely. Where my brain went, because I was like, oh my God, I can't even imagine that. You know?
And I hate his fucking reasoning. I just saw a pretty girl and wanted to take a picture. Ellen, do you remember we were on vacation in Florida and we were sitting on a park bench and this guy asked if he could take a picture of us? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Did we say no?
Yeah, we were like, because he asked to take a picture with us and we were like, no. And he was like, well, can I take a picture of just you guys? And we were like, no. Because we were
that's
like,
even weirder.
We were like at a beach and you just like went to smoke. And so we like, we're just sitting off to the side on a bench. And he like approached
us. How do
I
not remember this?
You know, because that's just misogyny, baby. That's just another drop in the bucket.
It was just another day.
But our tone was exactly like, no.
No.
Like at the same exact time.
I'm glad. Sticking to my word.
Yeah. I know. I just remember that. It's so weird. People are so weird.
But it's like, and he fucking asked.
And he asked. Think about all the people who don't ask. Oof. Don't take pictures of strangers, y'all. I know, like, I don't think it's cool for clout to try to humiliate someone. I hate how normal it's becoming to film someone and post on the internet, because you don't know what people are going through. You don't know people's stories. You don't know. It's not fucking cool. And especially photograph someone so you can jack off later.
Yeah. I was going to say, and I know you agree, just add to your point, unless it's for safety reasons, don't just film random fucking people. It's weird. Mm. It's weird. I don't like it.
Right. Unless it's cops. Always film cops.
Yeah. That's, again, safety reasons.
Safety. When you said that, I was like, always film cops. Always film cops, because you know why. Fuck.
Yes.
Okay, moving on. This is this one's a positive one. This is by @shrimpdentist, which is shrimp teeth. I have mentioned them before. They are a sex educator, and they specifically educate on how to have a successful and healthy poly relationship. So they write, whenever women tell me they're worried about asking a partner to use protection, I remind them that the request itself is a litmus test. If someone makes you feel bad for asking to use condoms, they're probably not going to be open to feedback about your pleasure. Pass on that.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Great point.
Yeah, man.
This is why they're the educator.
Yeah, I know. This is why they're the educator. Because I think it's a really good litmus test, because, I mean, if you're having sex with someone for the first time and they're making excuses about using protection, that's a good litmus.
I hate that too, especially with condoms. I understand that it probably feels different with condoms. I do understand that. But to tell me that it's too small, that it doesn't fit... There are so many different sizes. You can stick your whole arm in one.
I've seen people put like their whole ass leg in one. It's kind of impressive. But yeah, I think.
There's so many different kinds.
Yeah, it's not a good excuse. And condoms are not just for like contraception and like pregnancy prevention. It's also important so you don't spread STIs and just, you know, stay on top of your sexual health. And there's so many benefits to it. And if you're with a partner and they say no, I say get the fuck out of there.
I do have two complaints about condoms.
Okay.
They're expensive as fuck.
Yeah, they are.
And if you're allergic to latex, you really don't have that many options. They're hard to find. They are less comfortable, I would say. Yeah, and there's not that many kinds. It sucks.
I know. There really should be more non-latex options, because a lot of people have latex allergies, and they deserve to have all the freaky sex, too.
Anyways, there are other options, obviously, for contraception. I love this point. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think everyone out there, tune into that. If you're with a partner and they're just hemming and hawing and making excuses about not wanting to wear a condom, seems like a red flag to me.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, but not that way. Don't fuck them.
Not the good way. Not the fun way.
Don't fuck them. They're not wearing a condom. Okay, I titled this one, Bro, What the Fuck? And Ellen, this is very what the fuck.
Okay, all right, I'm ready, I think.
All this is a response to a thread. I have no context on the thread. I can assume it's about women sleeping with a lot of women, like high body counts, quote, quote, which I hate that fucking phrase, but women with, quote, high body counts.
I think of it as in murder victims.
No, it's more fun than that. It's sexual partners. Dude responds to the Twitter thread, and all he says is, I would unironically rather marry a woman who has had sex with a dog but was a virgin with men over one with any body count of a human male. Wow. Let me take that from the top, because this, I fucked up that intonation wholeheartedly. I would, unironically, rather than marry a woman who has had sex with a dog but was a virgin with men over one with a body count of human males. And I think anyone who actually understands women would agree in private.
It's bonkers.
It is wild, isn't it?
Bestiality. I wouldn't ever.
No,
horrible thing.
Unironically, I would rather marry a woman who's had sex with a dog but no men. That is bonkers.
So insecure.
Do you think a part of the reason men hate women who sleep with a lot of men is because they just are insecure that these other men have a bigger dick than them?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well,
we
solved it. We fixed misogyny.
They want to be the only one. It's like the Disney princess in reverse, right? They want a partner who is only about them, who's ever only been about them. They met them and their life changed forever. Is that like, you know, it's unrealistic. I guess it happens. But for the most part, for most people, that's unrealistic.
I know. This blows my hair back in a bad way. Because this is just what people do. Like, if you're going to be an adult, having sex with another adult in this fucking Taylor Swift Eras Tour of 2023, you're just going to, like, people are going to have had sex with partners before you. And that is not, like, say that they're a bad person. That is not, like, a stain on
their credibility. It's also none of your fucking business. Yeah.
And, like, let's stop putting so much weight in people having previous sexual partners. But one of the – I was watching – there's this like, TikTok couple that keeps skipping across my Facebook page. And they're the poly couple. And it's a poly couple. And they make videos about being poly. And I think they literally introduce their videos with being like, the poly couple. Like, they're just funny. And it's sketches mostly, but it's about going on dates and talking about dates. And one of the sketches they did was a man confronting this couple, which is a cishet man and cishet woman, about like, bro, how can you be okay with her sleeping with other dudes? And the husband's like, she does sleep with other dudes. Well, what if he's got a bigger dick than you? Well, she has slept with men with bigger dicks than mine. Well, what if she gets blah, blah? It's like, well, yeah, she's blah, blah. I don't own her. Like, it's just, there's so much insecurity and comparison to other men, because really what it is toxic men want the approval of other toxic men, because that's like another joke point. It's like, well, your girl's such a slut, anyone can fuck her. And it's like, what? That has nothing to do with him. That's her decision, and that has everything to do with her. I fucking hate it. It's so misogynistic.
All of it is terrible. No, I completely agree. This is bad. This is really bad.
That's why I called it, bro, what the fuck?
Yes, the title was accurate.
Moving on to our last message. This one I titled 660,000 inches of dick.
That's a big dick.
I'm laughing. This one is fucking killer, man. It's a Facebook status. My drunk ass girlfriend said she had sex with over 200 guys. She said she was a real slut back in college. Made me stop and think. 4 years of college, 365 days a year, 200 guys equals a new guy every 7.3 days. Since she said 200, well, rounded off a new guy every 7 days. Given that she had sex with a guy in an average about 3 times and an average dick length of 5.5 inches and about 100 thrusts to come, we're looking at 100 thrusts times 3 times per guy times 11 inches, 5.5 inches and 5.5 inches out equal 3,300 inches of dick per week. 3,300 inches of dick times 208 weeks equals 6,600,000 inches of dick equals 10.45 miles of dick. I got in my car and drove 10.45 miles and thought about dicks being laid end to end. That's how much dick she has taken. She isn't my girlfriend anymore.
There was nothing. I thought this was just like a math head who was like getting off on thinking about it, you know?
Probably, but also he's incorrect because, you know, you're not in college 265 days a year. You have summer break.
Oh, that's true. You know? That's true. And you, like, don't get it, girl. Like,
200 guys back in college? Hell yeah. I mean,
hell yeah.
I mean, I feel like she's got some stories.
I want to hear those stories.
Now,
I can't believe he did the math
to break up with her.
11 miles of dick.
Wow.
Wow.
I love that.
It makes me think of that fucking Silicon Valley bit where they're doing math to figure out how many dudes I could jerk off at once in like an auditorium. And it was like a real math equation. I also love the thought of this guy getting in his fucking truck and he's driving 11 miles just thinking of a bunch of dicks laid end to end to end.
I know. I started thinking of it like in an animated series.
Man's got so mad that he had to drive for 11 miles just thinking about hard cocks.
I don't understand the obsession with people's past. Everyone fucking sucked at one point, except for like two people probably. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Michelle Obama's never done anything wrong in her life, and I will die on that hill.
But I really think it's insecurity. It's insecurity. And yeah, they don't want to be like, well, I don't want to say that I'm like, what if we run into someone and they're like, oh, she was a real big slut back in the day. It's like, okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
All right. Who cares?
I know, who nobody
like,
cares.
This person did this back in the day. And it's like, well, that's not who they are now. So like, I really don't care.
Right.
You know, I just don't get it.
And like, she said she was a real slut back in college. So I was like, is this guy going to be like 35? You know,
probably 35 and just angry.
Come on.
Never cried a day in his life.
You're so insecure. She was just being a college girl, having fun, getting rowdy, doing what she wanted, as you fucking should. I mean, if you're going to fuck up, not that sleeping with a bunch of people is fucking up by any means, but I feel as if college is the best time to do that because, you know, you're young. You hopefully you're still like kind of on the parent salary. Parents are still helping you out a little bit if they can. You know, you have like, it's like a safety net. So I don't know.
Also, college is like kind of where you learn about yourself more.
Yeah.
And you're on your own for the first time or making adult decisions. I mean, if someone else has any light to shed on why people care about this so much, I would love to hear it. Send it in.
I know. It really, I do think it stems from insecurity. It stems from comparing yourself to past partners, which I don't even think we should go down that rabbit hole because we're all insecure to some extent. You know, I don't think anyone can be 100% like not jealous. I think that happens and, you know, we shouldn't beat ourselves up over it, but I don't even like open that can of worms because it's none of my business. Like who you were before we got together, unless you have children I should know about. I don't really care that you might have slept with 500 people. As long as you're not sleeping with people now while we're monogamous, you know, you're obviously with me now for a reason. So right? I have to trust that and I trust you. And yeah.
And it's also, you know, being open and honest about your sexual health for sure. But other than that, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care who you slept with. The fact that we had so many like, oh, I'd rather not sleep with someone who slept with the same sex, or I'd rather sleep with someone who is a virgin but has slept with a dog. What? Like all of this is such bullshit. Men need to do better. They need to do better.
Yeah, I think if you're crunching numbers like this, if you're crunching numbers to see just how many
driving the mileage,
11 miles. I got in my car and drove 10.45 miles and thought about dicks being laid end to end. That's how much a dick she has taken. What a fucking dork! You fucking nerd. All right. Well, on that note, let's take another smoke break. Let's get final thoughts together. Let's fucking wrap this shit up.
Yes. Thank you.
Had the text conversation between Edgar and Jesme, where Jesme told the 28-year-old man that she expects had to be reciprocated. He said, "You sound high maintenance at this point. Orgasms for women are kind of a big deal." I'm speechless. I have no speeches left to give. And then we had the tweet by Emily McCombs where they were talking about, "I told the man some shit he did that made me uncomfortable and he had accountability for it and said that kind of communication is super important to me and I'm glad to apologize and correct my missteps." Maybe a little bit clinical, but we're just fucking happy he apologized at this point. And then we had the, "I appreciate when my date wants to have sex the first time we meet and a partner I'm looking for femininity, submissiveness, and an interest in cleaning. Hands down, the best for a date, first date is taking LSD and having sex and vampire hickeys. And something new I want to try is watching her pubic hair grow so I can shave it." That's new. New for me. And then we had, "Never date a woman if she is more than 5'4", less than a C-cup, have a deep voice, says that I basically me. Me. Visible muscle tone. Promiscuous, a lot of body hair. Low talker. These are all my things. You don't want to date me." And then we had the conversation between Gwen and Jacob, where Jacob thought that you could just eat your boobs bigger. I hate it. This is fucking, no, that's not how bodies work. Then we have the whole fucking rant about how most women are really bad at sex, and throughout my life I've been inundated with jokes about women not being blah 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 blah. This dude sounds like fucking terrible. I think there's a reason your partners aren't super into it. I think that there's a reason. I think it's because you're a bad person. And then we had the weird ass Twitter thread about there's a trend of grown men crying when their brides walk down the aisle, and I have to say it's extremely gay. And fellas, is it gay to marry a woman? Then we had the whole tweet by Gabby where she talked about how she was sunbathing in her mom's backyard and a dude took a picture. She called the cops, thank God, got the pictures deleted. Holy shit, can we stop filming people in public? We had the tweet by Shrimp Teeth at Shrimp Dentist talking about asking a partner to wear a condom as a litmus test. If someone makes you feel bad for asking to use condoms, they're probably not going to be open to feedback about your pleasure. Stay tuned into that. That's a big fucking red flag. We had the dude who said he'd rather marry a girl who fucked the dog than a bunch of men. It's fucking weird. It's bad here. It's all bad. And then we wrapped it up with my drunk-ass girlfriend said she had sex with over 200 guys, and she has taken 660,000 inches of dick. And for that, we say, good on you, girl. Good on you. How are we feeling?
Exhausted. Why did you do this to me on your birthday?
It's my birthday. I'm gonna cry if I want to. Yeah. Sorry about it. What stood out to me the most? The sunbathing one. Just because it
fucks me up.
It fucks me up too. It makes me never want to go outside. Like, honestly, like when I hear stories like this, I'm like, well, I guess it's time for me to never leave the house ever again and go into the bunker.
The internalized misogyny for sure stuck out to me.
That was a bad one.
So terrible.
Yeah.
And I liked our discussion about the first one of men being like, oh, it's a lot of work to give women orgasms.
Like, sure, it can be. Like, you know, I've been with a partner that just couldn't get there. And, you know, you're doing all the work and you're pulling out all the bells and whistles and it just isn't going to happen. And that's okay. But, you know, at least we're trying. At least, you know, I said, hey, what's going on? And then I say, give me that dick. And then I try to make it work. And then if it doesn't work, you know what? But at least we tried, is my point. And I think that's all we can ask of our sexual partners is just try. If you don't orgasm, sometimes that happens. But at the very least, like, you would think give it some oomph. Give it some old razzle dazzle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Outrageous.
I hate this. I hate this for us.
Well, yeah, me too. It's all bad here. But, you know, it's called learning. And we are all learning together. Well, thank you, everyone, so much for listening. It's my birthday. We all had a lot of fun. If you want to give me a birthday present, please give our podcast a 5-star review if you like what we do. That helps us so much. And on that note, catch you on the next one.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye. If you like our show, please be sure to rate and review us 5 stars on our podcast app. To stay updated, you can follow us on all of the social media at Hate Mail Podcast. That's spelled HATEMALE Podcast. We also have a Patreon with 3 tiers of monthly subscriptions to help keep the show going for the next 85 years. If you have any weird DMs you want to send our way, be sure to send them to our email address, hatemailpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to our producer, Steve Labette. Music is by Robert Bach. You can be found at The Well-Tempered on all social media. Cover art is by Rowan Gray. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next Tuesday.
660,000 inches of dick!
That is correct.
And you did it on the first take, baby!